Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, come to think of it, who will not want to be pastored by Reverend Tendi? Shouting away your sorrows, shouting away.
Hallelujah. I only pray that we really received the word of prophecy that came from him to us. Hallelujah. Because, you see, when a man who is anointed speaks, let me tell you something. Because of the anointing, even if he's lying, God will bring it to pass and have a way of dealing with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight I believe the Lord will do something in our lives that we'll not forget in a hurry. In the name of Jesus. Reverend Tende, thank you so much. I honor you, sir. Mama, God bless you. Thank you so, so much. Pastor Anointed, the Lord bless you and your lovely wife. Every other man of God here, Reverend Vanduma, God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. 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 When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible.
Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, help us tonight. In the name of Jesus, let there be the hearing of faith and the working of miracles. Let Jesus be glorified tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Yesterday, we began to explore along the lines of the theme for the conference, the will of God. And I said a number of things I would quickly want to recap before we deal with the business of tonight. I did tell us a number of things about the Word of God. Among them, that the Word of God is a revelation of His methodology. The Word of God is a compendium of His thoughts and character. Remember that a man's thoughts and character can be captured and conveyed in and through his words. And that one of the ways that we discern the will of God is by understanding his character. And on the strength of that knowledge, we can judge anything around us, whether or not it is consistent with the character of God. So the knowledge of the character of God itself is a system for discernment. Are we together? That when you know who God is and what he can do, then you know what is not God. Just by knowing who he is. Are we together? So the Word of God reveals to us the thoughts of God and the character of God. We dwelt yesterday looking at the will of God, not necessarily in terms of direction. We looked at it in terms of his established will for us. Are we together? And that there's no point making any inquiry from God through any other mechanism when his character has revealed his intention, as revealed in the Bible. And then we did say that that would require transformation. Say transformation. Transformation, because his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways not our ways. We must allow the Word of God to upgrade us to a level and a realm where we see things and think like God. So the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We also looked at Romans chapter 14 verse 17 as the second spiritual channel for discerning and understanding the will of God, the coexistence of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, just doing a quick recap, but it's in righteousness. I told you righteousness there is not just the nature as it is when we talk about the believer in Christ. It's talking about God's methodology. That means in anything you seek to know the will of God about, you have to find out whether it is done according to His pattern. If it's not according to God's pattern, then it is not Him. God is not only a God of results, He's a God of patterns. How results happen matters to Him. Are we together? So righteousness, peace, and joy. And let me tell you this, it will surprise you to know that second only to the character of God, over 70% of your spiritual direction will come from this mystery. The coexistence of righteousness, peace, and joy. It's true. A number of believers suffer casualties because somewhere along the line, we either through an insensitive spirit or allowing the flesh to rise above the spirit at any given point, we do not allow that sensitivity, I'll be teaching more on that tonight, to help us discern when the peace of God, the Bible says, peace I give you, said my peace. That means there are other kinds of peace, but my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Are we together? His peace can be a garrison, a fortification, so that you can look at something that looks impossible, but the peace of God is still there. And God will tell you, keep moving, I'm still there. You don't use results to know necessarily whether God is there or not. No. The results happen in the end. His peace will continue to guide you until His word prevails. Are we together? And we spoke about joy in the Holy Ghost. This is very powerful. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Looks like happiness. You know, you were rejoicing and just celebrating the hand of God. You would think that it was just an emotional thing until you find out how difficult it is to rejoice. You have to be assisted to rejoice. Are we together? The reality of the challenges and the issues that befall the average man does not even allow any sense of joy and happiness. So you have to be empowered by the Spirit to rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I told you that we are going to explore the voice of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, broadly speaking, is what we are looking at as the third spiritual channel for accessing the will of God, the mind of God. But then I will focus on the voice of God. Give us understanding, O God, in the name of Jesus. Psalm 68. Please open your spirit. I believe that what you will hear tonight will really, really bless you. Psalm 68 and verse 33. Read with me, please, if you are a believer. One, two, read. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice and a mighty voice. So the Bible tells us God can send his voice, not just his word. His voice can also be sent to a man. John said, I am the voice, not I have a voice. I am the voice of one crying. So a voice can be personified. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible speaking says, and they heard the voice of the Lord. Please read with me. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. What was the voice doing? Talk to me. And they had the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Not they had the Lord. They had the voice like a person sent walking to communicate with someone else. Are we together? And they had the voice. They had it, but the voice had legs. It was walking. This is a powerful revelation that I want to show you. Because in addition to understanding God's character, in addition to righteousness, peace, and joy, one of the greatest advantages, let me tell you the truth, that can happen to a believer is to know the voice of God. You will pay for it again and again and again and again and again if you lack capacity to hear the voice of God. It's one of the mysteries of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer. And he had the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. One of the advantages of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer, among other things, the Bible says, I have many things to tell you now, but ye cannot bear them. He said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? The Bible says he will guide you into all truth, not some. There is a body of truth allocated for your understanding. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide a believer. Guide a believer, navigate you through the path that leads you to that understanding. Are we together? And then the Bible says that he will teach you all things. How many things? He will teach you all things. And so the Holy Spirit, if he's a teacher, then there must be a system of hearing him. Are we together? Please talk to me. You cannot really understand what a man is saying as a teacher if you cannot hear him. Are we together? Yes. When a teacher talks, he says, listen to me. That means you have to pay attention. That means your ears will be used. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear. That means for you to hear the Holy Spirit, there is a kind of ear you must have. Not everybody has that kind of ear. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That ear is not at the side of your face. That ear is in your spirit. He says, he that hath an ear, please listen very carefully, let him hear. If everyone had it, then the Bible would not need to say he that hath an ear. That means something can happen to a believer. Remember, I said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Something was done to my sheep that can cause them to hear my voice. Hallelujah. The voice of God. Now, generally speaking, the voice of God does not necessarily, having just established a few things about the voice of God, the voice of God does not necessarily mean the speakings of God. The voice of God is used generically as voice, but there are many dimensions to it. The speakings of God is just an aspect of the voice of God. The goal of the voice of God is to transfer the thoughts and the intents of God into the spirit and then the mind of a believer. Are we together now? So it is not limited to his speakings. I give you an example. If I ask you, buy me McLean, you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily mean the toothpaste brand McLean. But for some reason, either because of use or whatever, it has been selected to represent. If I say, buy me Maggi, you can even say which one. Are we together now? So when the Bible says the voice of God, he is only capturing a dimension that helps the man he's speaking to relate with what he's saying. But that the voice of God is not limited to his speakings alone. Are we together? It's generally referred to as the voice of God. The voice of God refers to every spiritual means of communicating the thoughts of God to a believer. It's called the voice of God. Every spiritual avenue, every spiritual system designed by the wisdom of God to convey his intent per time, per season to the believer is called the voice of God. Because you see, the entire goal of hearing God is to be able to receive that which he intends for you. I think it was Pastor Shegu, or I can't remember who I used yesterday for an example. Let me just use two people again. And okay, you can come, sir. And any other person, pastors, you can just sit. Let's have the protocol. Okay, watch this. Please stand, gentlemen. Just face me. Look at me. Now, do whatever you think. I'm going to just ask something, and I'll give you the mic to say what you think I said. Okay? What do you think I said?
That I should jump.
What do you think I
said? You said you should jump.
You see that? Now, this one can say, I said you should rise up. Another person said you should jump. The most important thing is the thought reached. Whether the linguistic expression is just a product of the mind and your personal orientation. But the most important thing is that they got the thoughts. If I now do it this way, I'm just an example. If I do this way, he can say, I said sit down. This one can say sit on the floor. So in the interpretation, it will look like God said sit on the floor. God does not speak English. His language is light. Listen, understand this. The language of God is light. The language of God is not Greek, it's not Hebrew, it's not English, it's not Hausa. There's nowhere. It always looks according to the... Remember the Bible says holy men wrote as they were inspired, meaning that their minds were active in the writing of Scripture. But the Bible says the entrance of thy word, what does it give? Talk to me. Light. The language of God is light. In that light is the essence of his communication. If you have a phone, just lift it up and put it down. Okay, watch this. Pastor Shegu, have you seen a situation where I send you a message? I'm typing something on my phone now. I'm seeing what I'm sending. The moment I press send, I don't see it again. It leaps into the realm of the spirit. This is technology now. And then finds the exact phone because I attach a number to it. And then it gets to that phone. But in your phone is a mechanism to interpret what was sent so that you will understand. There are times that you can receive something in your phone that does not have the capacity to interpret. It will do its best to conjure whatever it can put together in an attempt to communicate what was sent. Remember those early phones? You can send an MMS and it will just interpret it as rubbish. It's not rubbish. It's doing its best to help you see. When you upgrade the phone, the message becomes clear. Are we together now? Thank you, guys. The language of God is not English. Your mind has been educated to understand English. The language of God is not Greek. It's not Hebrews. But the other day, God told me, stand not wrong. But then you are wrong based on this teaching too. Are we together? You are not wrong in that your mind, the level of intelligence and the level of orientation in your mind is the instrument that God will use to interpret that essence of light. So the Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth light. That's the voice of God to you. But the challenge now is that a renewed mind needs to participate with that light to create understanding. Are we blessed? So the voice of God is not just limited to his speakings. The voice of God refers to every spiritual channel that he employs to communicate his thoughts and his intents to the believer. And we're going to explore three of them very quickly. Number one, the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Please pay attention. Let's be sensitive tonight. I believe that we're not only teaching, like Pastor said, I believe that even in this, God is going to be activating these things because God wants to bring us to a higher level of spiritual understanding. And then not just to have the understanding, but to have the requisite level of grace to defend that knowledge that we have. Are we together? Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Please read with me. 1, 2, read. Beareth witness that we are the children of God. Now, he's just speaking with respect to redemption, but it's not just limited to redemption. He's explaining and revealing a character, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, that the Holy Spirit can bear witness. There is something the Spirit of God can do to the spirit of man. Witness has to do with validation, confirmation. Are we together? When we say you are a witness, you are a validator of a point. You are a validator of a truth. And the Bible says the Spirit himself, that he bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. That means the Spirit of God can bear witness with my spirit that this is the will of God. The Spirit can bear witness. The witness of the Spirit is a dimension of spiritual operation that the carnal man cannot understand, because your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit must be heightened and alive to understand this. You see, not every spiritual thing has a physical equivalent. So it's very difficult to talk to the carnal man. Are we together? Because the system of interpreting it, creating a physical parallel to it, may not be there. One of it is the witness of the spirit. The witness of the spirit. Great men like Kenneth E. Hagin will call it the knowing of the spirit. The fortitude to know. A persuasion that cannot be explained. That you know. I can know there is danger. Are we together? I can know this is the will of God for me. I can know I should be here. I can know I should not be there. Lord, do I do this? And then the witness of the spirit comes. Usually, the witness of the spirit works alongside all these other channels. You see, let me tell you, depending on the level and the gravity of what you want to do relative to God's purpose for you, He will employ multiple channels, because you will need a stronger level of certainty. The kind of conviction you will get to choose the clothes that you will wear is not the kind of conviction you will get to start ministry. No. They don't play the same role to your destiny and ultimately God's will. So He will employ it is within His predeterminate counsel to select at any given time, and also dependent on your level of yieldedness. For Joseph, he used a dream. You see, these dreams you see, I know that dreams today have been hijacked and corrupted, but for God to use a dream to preserve Jesus, that means that these dreams and visions that we have is not ordinary. It's an advantage that was given by God to men to order their lives. Are we together? It was Joseph that had a dream. He saw the sun, the moon, 11 stars bowing to him. It was a representation of his destiny. Say the witness of the Spirit. If you experience this dimension of the ministry and the leading of the Spirit, is proof, listen very carefully, is proof that your spirit has been built. You see, there is a threshold level that the spirit of man must be built to receive this kind of seed. Are we together now? And so if you are not spiritually matured enough, in His mercy, He will employ whatever means that can reach you. But sometimes the direction you are looking for requires a superior level of conviction because of the challenges that stand before you. Hence the need to upgrade your spirit so that God has greater tools to communicate through every way. He can use a dream, then a witness in your spirit, then peace again, then His word, and you are unmovable. Whatever stands before you, the channels are too many to cause you to doubt. Are we together now? If I ask the Lord, should I eat rice or beans? The wisdom of the word will answer me straight to the point. Are we together? That is God speaking, but the wisdom that is apportioned. Are we together now? Yes. You're not going to hear a voice from heaven, eat beans. No, that's a wasted project. God doesn't have that kind of time. I mean, why then did he give the word? Are we together? But now you are about to start a ministry. The destinies of millions are part of it. Their own call is in your call. No, God is not just going to use one careless dream and end there. There will be multiple channels because your convictions have to be strong. Believers one day will tell you you are wrong. You will need to go back to the archives of the multiple channels. On the strength of the voice of God, you can stand. With two members, after 4 years, you say, God still sent me. I know. I know. But I know whom I believe. And I am, help me. That's the word I'm looking for. Persuaded. You don't get persuaded just, no. There is something that must happen to a man to persuade him. Unbendable, unmovable. Hallelujah. Say after me, the witness of the Spirit. The key to accessing this dimension of the witness of the Spirit is praying in the Spirit. Listen very carefully. This is not a Pentecostal phenomenon for people who are charismatic. No. It's an advantage. It's an advantage. It's one of the hidden wisdom of God that the princes of this world did not know. The Bible says, are we together now? Yes. It said that we speak this mystery, this wisdom in a mystery. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, but ye, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. He said, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Are we together? And then verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth. You've heard it again and again. Your pastor has graciously blessed the body of Christ with a book that has brought clarity over that subject. Edifieth himself. When you pray in tongues, many things happen. It's important to understand the many things that happen. We're going to explore some of them. I don't want to go ahead of myself. But one of the things that happens to a believer when he prays in tongues, that's why you should pray in tongues as often as possible. Are we together? That your organs of interacting with the realm of the spirit is activated and then heightened so that you can pick spiritual signals with razor sharp accuracy. Praying in the spirit has a way of causing your spirit to rise above the limitations of the flesh, and you can hear and you can discern. The Bible says there is as it were many voices, and it says none of them is without significance. When you continually pray in the spirit, you will rise to a point where you will hear a voice like God, but no, this is not God. Your spirit has been alive. The signal is strong. Remember that you can tap, I don't know what radio stations are around, but have you been at a place where you are just at the boundary of that state and you are hearing, but it's not really very clear. Are we together? Sometimes you can shift just a few meters and then it's back. So your praying in the spirit is like shifting you in the realm of the spirit. That conformity is happening again and again. Are we together now? The witness of the spirit. There are many people who have been saved from death because of the witness of the spirit. There are many people who have been directed aright because of the witness of the spirit. The spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm in the will of God. Because you see, it's not every time you are going to hear go. There are times you will start moving, and if it's God, you will say stop. It's not always go. The witness of the spirit can supply that strength, that confirmation. You will need it in ministry. You will need it in life. Are we together? Yes. Especially when results have not yet started manifesting. You know, when results are manifesting, they can encourage you. They can support your conviction. But before then, among the various channels is the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit himself can bear witness with my spirit that this is my pastor. The Spirit himself can bear witness with my spirit that this is my church. The Spirit himself can bear witness that I should be in Zaria at this point. Are we together? The witness of the spirit is very strange because a carnal man will not understand. If you tell him a dream and he listens, he can interpret the dream from the lens of his orientation and say, it makes sense. But how do you explain to someone you are having the witness of the spirit? There is no physical way of making them aware. Are we together? The witness of the spirit. As I pray in tongues, many things begin to happen to me, among them this, the witness of the Spirit. It's similar to discernment, but it's not exactly discernment. We're going to go to discernment, and you'll learn a lot there. The witness of the Spirit. He can even choose, oftentimes, the witness of the Spirit goes along with his peace. That's why I'm telling you, this peace and joy and righteousness, don't joke with it. Because the witness of the Spirit, many times, they interplay themselves. It will take the spirit of revelation to help you decipher which is which. Because physically speaking, or as far as it is, the results are to you, you may not even know which one is the witness and which one is peace. They are interplaying themselves together. The moment your peace is seized, the moment there is a restraint, that's the word, a restraint, What is wrong? The moment there is a release, I don't know this man, but I love him. I don't know. I just you call it sense in my spirit that there is something he has to do. I don't know you, sir, but are you a man of God? He says, yes, sir. You are a prophet of God. Yes, sir. Can you pray for me? Ah, so this was what I was sensing from my house, that I should go northwards. The witness of the Spirit. Are we together? You can be in a place and look at someone and know by the witness of the Spirit, I should not be here. The steps of a good man are ordered. And one of the ways the Lord orders our steps is the witness of the Spirit. You see, we must be alive to the Spirit, honestly. Otherwise, some of these signs, especially in the days that we live in, we need to be alive to all these spiritual mechanisms. The witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Imagine how many people have been jailed who are innocent because the police officers did not have this fortitude to access the witness of the Spirit. You can see someone looking like a thief, but he's the most honest man in your life. Just because he looks like a thief, you don't punish him for lack of excellence. Are we together? Agreed, he may not be excellent enough to look like a responsible person, but he may be honest. The witness of the Spirit. In the midst of that conversation, there is capacity to decipher. And it comes exclusively by praying in the Spirit. That's why when you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, what you hear should not really be trusted except by the mercy of God. If you are really not filled with the Holy Spirit, are we together? You are at a level where any kind of network can find you. You've not risen to the hill. There are some networks that cannot get to certain places. When your spirit man ascends to that dimension, it says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? There is a plane that you stand when you hear something, you know this is God. Are we together? Number two. Let me hurry up because I want us to pray. Discernment. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Discernment. Can we just pray in the Spirit in 1 minute? It's a charismatic conference. We are discussing very deep matters of the Spirit. Please pray. Our destinies are tied to this. This is not one of the topics you just wave around. No, this is, you need this for life and godliness. Hallelujah. The Bible age. It says, those who by reason of use, listen very carefully, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The clearest way to explain discernment scientifically is your sense of smell. Are we together? It's the closest expression to how discernment works. Listen. Discernment works similarly to the witness of the Spirit, but in the case of discernment, listen, is a stronger depth of conviction. Is a knowing, listen, is a knowing that works with not just your knowledge, it even works with your imagination. You can, through discernment, know an angel is here. You are not seeing a vision. You will think you are lying. Are we together? You can, through discernment, know the kind of anointing that is in a place. You don't have to be told. And it's not just that God has trained your body to identify certain kinds of anointings. Those are personalized dealings. We are talking about a spiritual doctrine that is valid for all men. That a man's spirit can be discerned to pick spiritual signals. To understand the motivation, the motive behind occurrences. With discernment, you can know when a man of God is preaching and when he has entered the flesh. Although mighty things can still be happening, you will know, no. At this point, the Spirit of God rounded up this service already. This one is the flesh manifesting. Discernment is very powerful. Very, very powerful. You are a man of God and you want to operate in the anointing. You will need discernment. You will need discernment. It's not always something that you can physically relate with. You can train your discernment. It's a sense of spiritual perception. The ability to perceive the realm of the spirit as though you are there. Why? Because you have a mechanism. You are a spirit. And by reason of being a spirit, it is legal for you to be able to interact with the realm, the atmosphere of the realm of the spirit. You need discernment. You can train your discernment such that you know exactly when the anointing is in the place, when God wants to move, when God wants to move this way, the ministry, the operation of angels. It's important. You're a man of God here, you must press for a superior dimension of discernment. By discernment, you can look at someone and he comes and kneels and says, Pastor, I want to work with you. And you've already seen the end, not by a vision. Discernment. The quality of spiritual perception. Because you see, the realm of the spirit is not governed by time and space. I hope you know that. These factors do not exist. So when you are discerning, there is no limit to the information you can catch up within your moment of discernment. I can look at a man and tell you after 10 years, except the mercy of God helps this person, or except he's planted in a correct place, this person will fail. I'm not predicting doom. I'm not insulting the person. I have captured that the way he or she is going. I can look at someone today who can be holding a bottle of beer and by discernment tell you this is a mighty man of God. Give him 5 years and you will watch and see something very strange. Pastors, we need this. Because remember, we need members. We need workers. Discernment will help us prune people. Who will allow the devil to come and corrupt the labor of the spirits that we are doing. Discernment is very powerful. People have been given positions in church because there was election, but there was no discernment. Discernment should veto every other thing. A powerful spiritual quality. Hallelujah. If you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, your discernment must be heightened. It will minimize inaccuracy in your life. Otherwise, you would tell people things later on, you will find out that's not what God is saying. You need discernment. It's a sense of perception. You can discern faith. The Bible says that the apostle was preaching and he saw a man and he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Discernment is the quality that will let you know when God wants you to now begin to speak and declare. It's called discernment. You see, let me tell you, spiritual timing is very important. All things don't happen all the time. You must have the discernment to know when God is doing what so that you plunge into it. Everybody say discernment. Say, I receive grace for discernment. Strange as it is, the same way the witness of the Spirit is trained, that's the same way discernment is trained, by praying in the Spirit. Let me tell you, one of the classic standard proofs of your spiritual health is your depth of discernment. When you are a man of prayer, discernment is something that you will see in. I can know that you are a man of prayer by how heightened your level of discernment is. It's true. Things should not just cross over and above you and you are totally unaware. There's something wrong. Are we together now? Discernment, a sense of perception. A sense of perception. A sense of perception. It can look like it is an imagination. It can look like it is visionary. But many times you may not see anything. That's why for many of us, when you started walking in this dimension, you felt guilty and you stopped because you thought you were lying. Are we together? Yes. I just feel like there are angels here. And they say, which angel? You? Which one did you see? When did you start praying that? Say, don't tell us lies here. And truly, truly, you just say, let me just shut my big mouth. I'm not sure that there is any angel here. You may not be wrong. It is discernment that makes you to know you are not alone in a room. And sometimes you can turn multiple times. You know It's a signal. Your spirit is speaking it. You are not alone. It's true. See, all these things, they are the things that make believers invincible. It is the presence of all these advantages. So you can look like an ordinary man with another person, but you are plugged to many systems that constitute an advantage to your life. Do you know discernment can help you know they are talking about you? You can enter a room and the residue of the presence of the gossip and deals, you receive it like an antenna. Well done, sir. And you know, no, a conversation was here. A man can finish whom you enter and know that prayer just finished here. Very powerful. It will save you. You will need it in life. You will need it in ministry. It will guide you. It will minimize error in your life. I'd like you to open your mouth in 1 minute and cry for a fresh grace. Fresh grace. An enablement of the Spirit that can cause me, grant me capacity. Lord, I'm tired of mistakes. I'm ready to walk circumspectly. In this charismatic conference, there is a level of accuracy I press through by faith. And Lord, I pray that you grant me discernment. I have joined myself to associations that I should not, because I could not perceive, I could not discern. It will help you in marriage. It will help you in relationships. It will help you in business. It will help you in ministry. Discernment. Lift your voice and pray. We are praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Discernment. It's a powerful spiritual quality. You can discern. You can discern an anointing. Look, let me tell you. Now, when it comes to discernment, I have to be honest with you. Praying in the Spirit is not the only factor that governs discernment. Your call and your office can configure you in a way that almost by default, the moment you accept the anointing and the grace of your call, depending on what that call is, it can align and reconfigure you so that you have a greater fortitude to obtain discernment. It's true. Are we together? You can find someone, for instance, who may have, let's say, an apostolic or a prophetic call, not by name, truly, truly. Are we together? By call and office, you find out that even when you were not even very serious with spiritual things, it seemed like there was a configuration within you to be able to perceive things. The election of grace can make for that. Discernment can be imparted. It's true. It's true. Discernment can be imparted. You can come into an atmosphere like this, and while the word of God is going on, part of the distribution of the activations and the realities that God is distributing, He can all of a sudden quicken your discernment, and you will be surprised to find out all of a sudden that you have a superior dimension of perception. You leave the charismatic conference and you begin to pick signals in a very strange way. You will go back and open your book and you wrote 12 things that you thought you was God. You start counseling them and you leave 5. You say, no, after all, nobody exactly told me this is not God. Something happened to me. It is on the strength of these provisions that we can say a believer is superior. We are not just superior in name. There is an explanation. There is a science to our superiority. Are we together? You can put together the factors that have been added to my life by reason of being in Christ. So that it's not just in talk. I am an ordinary man. But you watch my life to see results that should not be gotten by men. And I'm explaining to you, for instance, that it is on the strength of these provisions. These are the things that help you to appreciate the goodness of God and to honor a believer. When someone tells you he's born again, you don't trivialize it, because it means that I plug myself to an endless potential, among them this capacity to draw realities from the realm of the Spirit.
Now people get born again and they just move as if they are mourning. You know, you are finished, just follow this way, and they are dragging in anger and they are... No.
Discernment.
Number three. If God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
Let's talk about the speakings of God now. What you call the voice of God. The speakings of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Are you blessed so far? When Jesus came out of the water, he went to be baptized, and seeing John discerning by the Spirit, he said, "Behold the Lamb." Remember, John was a prophet. John was not a Baptist. John was a prophet. Baptism was a strategy given to him in the wilderness to identify the Christ. That's why after the Christ, there's no record of him baptizing anyone again. Are we together? So John was a prophet. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so John sees Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus is saying, "Okay, let me, you know, baptize me and all of that." And John is saying, no, I'm not worthy to do this, etc. And after all that conversation, the Bible says he's dipped in water. And the moment he comes out, the Bible says, and then the heaven opens. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he says, "Hear ye him." Very powerful. Very, very powerful. God speaks. Everybody say it. If you were created in his image and you speak, then it means God speaks. Are we together? God speaks. It's a very powerful revelation. Idols don't speak. The demons behind them help them to speak, or makes it look like they are speaking. But God speaks. Every one of the Godhead as revealed in Scripture, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all speak. The Word spoke all through his earthly ministry. The Father from heaven speaks. And then the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly to the churches. The Spirit doesn't just speak, he can speak expressly. Are we together now? So God speaks, the Father. The Son, the Word speaks, the Logos of God. And then the Spirit of God speaks. I hope you know that. Listen carefully. Every spiritual communication that gets to man is enhanced by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it is the Holy Spirit that gives life and a voice to the Word. Now, this is very powerful. That is the reason why you can have Scripture and have no life and power in it. Are we together now? The Bible says, ever learning, they're having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The power behind the Word is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as one of the Godhead, has an office. And it's important to study the operations that are within his office. And one of it is to make the Word of God clear. The communications that are in the heart of the Father clear to the saints. Are we together? First Corinthians, Paul the Apostle. I love Paul. Goodness. Paul is a man who told us first the basis of his revelation. His apostleship, he said that he was called to be a partaker, a fellowship into the mysteries. That so that whoever read his epistles will understand the basis of his authority. Are we together? Let me just give you a little introduction. Please give us 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin to read from verse 8 and then we'll stop at hopefully verse 12. But now watch this. Paul, the entire text of the book of Corinthians, it's found, don't turn there, but it's found in chapter 14 and verse 40, that all things be done decently and in order. Theologically speaking, it was at a point where there was such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in Corinth. Are we together? There were diverse manifestations of the Spirit, and many of them did not know what to call it. They did not even know how to cooperate with that operation. So there was randomness. People were prophesying. This one would get up and heal. This one would do this. They started serving communion, and because there was no intelligent system of preservation, others would drink the communion and be tipsy. And Paul came and met a mess. And Paul said, no, sit down. Let's have a conference, a charismatic conference. So the entire text of 1st and 2nd Corinthians was a theological exegesis on the operation of the Holy Spirit to now guide them. It was Paul that gave these attributes names. Today we can call it word of knowledge. Those who were walking in it did not know that was the name. They just knew that my organ of interaction is heightened and I can capture information past, present. Paul says, sit down, let me teach you. What a man. He deserves to be listened to. A man that can decipher the diverse operations of the spirit and classify them intelligently to edify the body. That one is not human. Are we together? May God bring us into that level of spiritual accuracy. Had Paul not created this balance, Pentecostals and charismatics would have been in trouble. Imagine if everybody just did everything like that. Because it's supernatural, you will not have the guts to say stop. But Paul taught us here that even spiritual things can be governed. There can be a system of order around them. What a man of authority. Are we together? So Paul, in this session, was teaching the people about the speakings of God. He started by talking about the hidden wisdom of God that had been hidden that none of the princes of this world knew. So we'll read from there now. For had they known it, the Bible says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We're reading and stopping verse 12. It says, but as it is written, hallelujah, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared, say his will. Everybody say his will. His will, prepared. There were things God had prepared for them that what? Is there anyone here that God loves? Let me see your hand. He said, behold what manner of love the Father had. So we know we're not in that he loves us. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. So he's talking about me here. Are we together? That there are some things that are prepared, but I must know them. There has to be a mechanism to know the things that are prepared. If they are prepared, then it means it's his will. Are we together? There must be a system to access the things that are prepared. They're called prepared blessings. Prepared, but how do I access it to walk in it? Verse 10. But God had revealed them. Hallelujah. So God is not keeping them in the dark. They are prepared. And he's now revealing them. But God had revealed them unto us. How? Talk to me. By his spirit. And then Paul now wants to buttress on that point. And then he veers off to another thought. He said, for your information, the spirit has the ability to search the deep things. Now look at this. Remember, he's digressing a bit here. The context is that God reveals to us by his spirit. And Paul is saying, in case you don't know, the spirit can start how many things? Please talk to me. The spirit can start. Can he start where you need to be tomorrow? Can he start who you need to go with? Can he start who you need to do business with? Can he start where you need to be? Can he start where your favor is? Can he start what you need to do? How many things? Shout it, say all things. The advantage of the believer. That I stand at a point where there is a provision. Now, whether or not that becomes my experience is something else. But I'm saying that in Christ, there is a possibility that all things, the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the first dimension of the Godhead revealed in Scripture. The Spirit of God. Many people do not respect the Holy Spirit. Just because we pray in tongues and fall down, we believe that's all there is to him. No. The Spirit of God is a wonder. When the Holy Spirit comes and walks with a life, he will turn that life into a wonder. It says, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Then he veers off. He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Even what? The deep things. Another word for deep things there is the secret things. Remember the Bible says the secret things of God. There are secret things. Not secret because he doesn't want you to know. In the New Testament, they are called mysteries. Informations and realities privy only to the saints in light. And let's see the mechanism. He buttresses on that point again. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save what? The spirit of that man. So when it comes to the knowledge and awareness of a man's thoughts, it's the spirit that is responsible for that revelation. Are you getting what Paul is teaching here? Paul is saying that it is only the spirit of David Dam that is able. I must find a way of connecting with his spirit if I want to know what is in his mind. Now, occultists do this. Diviners do this. They have found a way of manipulating the realm of the spirit. They call it mind reading. They are tapping from this reality that the spirit of a man connected to another man's spirit. This is what happens in marriage that is so powerful. The couples look like themselves after a few years. It's a spirit connection. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration, the mystery by which two entities have become one. That a man's heart can be joined to another man. That he that is joined to Christ is what? Talk to me. Not one flesh, one spirit. So he wants to establish something very powerful. And he's saying, this is an established fact. What is the fact? That what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit which is in him. Even so, in that similitude, the things of God knoweth who? That means there is nobody, whether you are a prophet, whether you are an apostle, whether you are whatever, it is not given to you by yourself, outside of the assistance of the Holy Spirit, to tap into the thoughts of God. So there is no possibility of knowing the will of God if the Holy Spirit is exempt from the process. Is God helping us to understand this? He says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Read verse 12. It says, now we have received, hallelujah. The Bible took out time to just flaunt the potentials of the Holy Spirit. Then when it's done, he now says, now, not tomorrow. Say now. Say it again, now. Now we have received. Who are the we? Not everybody. He's not talking here to everybody. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why did we receive him? Talk to me. That we may... Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That we may know the things, those prepared things. This is what makes us the chosen ones. This is what makes us a royal priesthood. This is what makes us called out. Do you know why? We have been introduced to a marvelous light, a body of truth. It is the presence of this advantage that separates us. That the Holy Spirit is given to an ordinary man and can cause that man to know. So you no longer will doubt. If I look at you and prophesy to you and I say things about you, there is no way of knowing. I'm giving you a spiritual basis so that you can know that, oh, it's true. If your pastor looks at you and says, God says, August is a month of celebration, a carnal man will look and say, this man, I thought we took tea yesterday. He does not know that the man you see standing is not all that you see. There is a system that has connected him, and you can receive spiritual signals. This is the basis for listening to, receiving from a man of God. The understanding that a man of God is not all a man. Yeah. Are we together? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. We ignore him so much and we want to succeed. The Bible says, thou shalt hear a voice from behind. Thou shalt hear a voice from behind, saying unto you, I think I wrote the scripture down here. I hope I can find it. I don't know where I kept it now. Thou shalt hear a voice from behind, saying, this is the way, walk in it. He says, you will not turn to the right, you will not turn to the left. Listen, let me tell you this. Any man that neglects the ministry of the Holy Spirit will fail. It's true. Will fail. No bias. I don't care how many visions of success you see, you will fail. Are we together? You can now see the power behind the book that your pastor, Reverend Tende, wrote. It was not just a book to communicate a man's spiritual intelligence. It is a major contribution to the body of Christ to say, people, you are neglecting a dimension that can stir up the workings of the Spirit in you, and I'm bringing this as a contribution to the body. To answer that question, that culture and our geographic context has caused people to be limited, and he's using it as a weapon to break through that divide. If there is anything today about my life that is noteworthy, if there is anything today about my life that is worth talking about, it's not because I'm so smart. I have been foolish enough to hold his hands, the Spirit of the living God. That when the Holy Spirit holds your hand, the Holy Spirit is many things. The Holy Spirit is God too. The Holy Spirit is the creative dimension of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is the Spirit of power. He is the Spirit of glory. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the wisdom of God. The Bible calls him the Spirit of glory. Are we together now? The Spirit of glory. Remember that the Holy Spirit, now I'm going to say something I hope you have, this is, I'm grateful because of the kind of church that I'm preaching in. You know, sometimes when you are preaching somewhere, you want to say something, you are just saying, let me just be careful. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is what you call the way? The Holy Spirit does not bring eternal life. The Holy Spirit is eternal life. Whoever does not have his Spirit is none of his. It's in the Bible. It's not something he comes to keep and goes back. He's present in you. Are we together? He is the manifestation of the presence of Jesus to and in the believer. The life of God. So wait, how do I know? If that same Spirit that raised Christ. So Christ did not just get up just because he was the Word. That means the Word does not just raise up. Even in your life, the Word can be there in your heart, but it will be unfruitful until the Spirit comes to raise it up. The Word was in the grave and it was lying down there. Can be the word of prophecy, can be the word of anything. Just because it's the Word, the force behind the Word. Remember, the words are the thoughts of God, but the force that brings it alive is the Spirit of God. The same way the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, he will raise every prophecy you have received in your heart. You see that now? He is the life-giving Spirit. So the Word was lying down. Do you know if the Holy Spirit did not come, the Word will remain there? The only thing is that the Word will not suffer corruption. It will not rot, but it will remain there. Jesus, your Jesus, will lie down there. There's no possibility of corruption. Are we together? Because he's the Word. And so he lied down there. So the Holy Spirit came to raise him up. His blood had been drained out. The Holy Spirit did not bring blood. He came with another life and resurrected him. And Jesus said, look at the holes in my hand. I'm still alive. The holes in my side. He didn't run to go and stitch it quickly to say so that the blood, no blood again. Mortality had been swallowed up by immortality. So, he said, as my Father has sent me, not as he walked on earth. There is a big difference between the Jesus that walked on earth and the glorified Christ. Are we together? For instance, the Jesus that walked on earth could only send men with his name. He couldn't send them with his Spirit. He gave them his name. The first Adam was what? A quickening soul. Meaning you can only partake and you can only use what you have to bless others, but you cannot reproduce. The possibility for reproduction was not there. But the second Adam, Christ, is now not only a quickening soul, he's a life-giving Spirit. The substance of who he is can be reproduced to another person. It is on that basis he called many sons to glory. Are we together now? The presence of his Spirit in you is how he initiated you into that realm. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. He says, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like. The only way we know what we shall be like is to look at the one who is already. So we look at him as we behold him. We now begin to conform. Are we together? Like a mirror. We are changed.
The Spirit can speak. But what is the key to hearing the Spirit speak? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Jesus. Please just give me volume. Revelation chapter 1. Please read with me the first five words, if you can. One, two, read. One more time. One more time. One more time. The Bible says, for to be carnal-minded is death. It says, for to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. It says, that which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. When it has to do with the speakings of God, it's not in the realm of flesh and blood. Are we together? He looked at Peter. He said, who do men say that I am? And everybody was saying, you are Elias, you are one of the prophets. He said, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter, by the Spirit, said, I know who thou art. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed. That means you don't hear God. You don't receive this revelation of the voice, the speakings of God. Although your spirit is hosted by flesh and blood, when it has to do with that spiritual communication, it is deep calling to deep. It is spirit responding to your spirit. You hear God by and from your spirit. Listen carefully. You don't hear God with your physical ears. No matter how you think you heard him, you don't hear God just with your mind. You hear God by and from your spirit. Please listen very carefully. But I told you that the language of the spirit is not English. You will write, I remember one time, the anointing of the spirit was upon me and I wrote a whole page of prophecy in Yoruba. I'm not a Yoruba person. I don't know anything about Yoruba. Okay, well, a few things and all of that. But then I wrote a whole prophecy in Yoruba. And when I finished, I had to call my friend to say, this is what came from the Lord. And he took time, he said, ah, this is deep Yoruba. And then he started reading favor dance for me. This and that and that. And some of the things I wrote, he was shouting because the proverbs, wise sayings, deep wise sayings. How would I have known? The Spirit. Now, let me tell you this. And this is where, if you are in to the, any kind of the prophetic ministry, whether as a gift or an office, listen, I'm about to teach something that will change your life now. The biggest error in the prophetic ministry, pastor, comes right from here. The error is not reception. Remember, the goal is not for it to remain in your spirit. The word must become flesh to dwell among men. We want to behold it. So there must be that technology, a system of drawing it from the realm of the spirit. This is where Satan is the master of that realm, the master manipulator of the speakings of God, especially as it relates to interpretation and execution. Just give me a few more minutes and we'll pray. Is God still blessing us tonight? Are we together? So the Bible says the entrance of thy word. Question, where does it enter? Your ears?
No.
Your spirit, correct? Now, that word, listen very carefully. Remember the Bible says the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is that fire that comes upon your candle. And then when the candle is lit, you can now see with it. Are we together? And then the Bible now says, listen very carefully. When the Lord speaks to the spirit of a man, he speaks light. That's why if you have had any visionary encounter, you find out that in the realm of the spirit, words don't really, you can have an encounter and there will be minimal use of words. In the realm of the spirit, the authorized system of communication is the light of God. Are you seeing, I don't want to derail, help me Holy Spirit, but are you seeing what was the basis of Lucifer's power? His office was the light bearer, the custodian of the mysteries of God. Are we
together now. This was what made Lucifer look like he was so exalted. I hope you know angels don't grow old. You measure the age of angels by the light they emit, which is a product of how much of the word of God. They also live by the word of God. Just because they are angels, celestial beings, without the word, in him was not anything made that was made. Are we together now? Yes. He said, for nothing that was made without, how did he put it? John chapter 1. He said, there was nothing that was made without him. Paraphrasing. So even the angels depend on the word of God. You can know their age by how much they excel in light, the psalmist told us. And your excellence in light. And let me tell you, this is also how your spirit and the health of your spirit is measured spiritually. Remember, Jesus showed us the spirit man in the transfiguration. What was that? Pure light. Unapproachable light. So as I grow, my spirit man is illuminated. And I can know. This is what demons see in the realm of the spirit. They don't just search for what brain, what English. No, Paul, I know. I know what I see. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Sons of Sceva. The light of God. That spiritual illumination that comes. The brightness. Are we together now? From that brightness, please listen very carefully. The voice of God. And also the power of God comes from that light. Shabakatosita. So when the Lord speaks, he speaks light. Everybody say light. But your spirit man receives light. But your mind, listen carefully, your mind will need to find a way. Remember, the bridge between your body and your spirit is your mind. Are we together? Yes. Your mind will have to, permit me to use the word, downgrade that spiritual reality to a format that you can now understand. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, this is where the problem is. Remember, the Bible tells us that this warfare of a believer happens in the realm of the mind. Remember? Yes. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, is the Greek word yezar, and bringing every thought, holding it captive and bringing it to the knowledge of God. This is the realm where Satan prevails. Now listen very carefully. The word of God, scripture, now I mean, is God's authorized mechanism of interpreting the light of God so that a believer can understand. Listen, that means the greater the word content in my spirit, the more accurate I am giving the Holy Spirit a variety of options to accurately minister that light so that I can receive. Are we together? Meaning that I can be a prophet, for instance. Now, with due respect, you know, I don't talk against the body of Christ at all. So if I'm giving this example, it's not out of sarcasm. I love the body. I'm sent to the body. Are we together? Please listen. But then I'm just trying to create something and to create balance. I can be an apostle of God or a prophet of God or a pastor or a teacher, whatever I am. And pastor, my mind is not renewed. Are we together? Now watch this. If my mind is not renewed, my mind is still not empty. There is still something in my mind. Culture is in my mind. The herbal medicine and the herbal practice is in my mind. Every other thing is in my mind. Now watch the drama. The light comes from heaven. Remember, when God appeared and spoke to Paul, what did Ananias say he saw? All of them saw light. But Ananias said, Jesus, who appeared to you? But the other people saw light. All they saw was light. God is light. So that light comes to you. And now look at the label. You will now see why God says, is there anything too hard? This is where the too hard comes. There is no instrument of conversion based on the level and the degree. Are we together? Reverend Rubandoma tells us, building on the word. This is where the advantage comes. You are providing resources. This is your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Your labor in word is to create a system of accommodation for any dimension of the speakings of God to find a way of reaching you with accuracy. Now, watch this. Remember, I'm bankrupt of the word in this example. And the Lord gives me a revelation. and I interpret that revelation, because all I know, I still have the flesh alive, culture and whatever. I will be forced, and sadly, God will be limited. You see, they limited the Holy One. This is how they limited him. God is now limited by the allowance I have given him. And you can see the difficulty in penetrating my mind. And I will receive a revelation that is full of error. It is not a revelation of God's potentials. It is the limitation that my mind has given. So the Bible says, let this mind. Permit this mind to be in you. If you truly want to function like Christ in experience, it's not just enough to say you are in Christ. You must walk the word and permit this mind to be in you. There was an understanding that was in Christ. Remember, he came as a Nazarene, and there was a cultural context. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, but he was at the temple. You see the advantage of what he was doing at the temple? Because the Holy Spirit would be speaking and communicating with him, and he needed a word bank, a residue of the word within his mind. Your mind plays a role to your victory. It's not your spirit alone. Believers have spirits that are alive, but our minds are disoriented. We have other systems of intelligence outside of the Word of God. This is where whatever spiritual investment we must make to get the Word is profitable. The Bible gives the Word of God a business communication. That the word is profitable. You don't run away from profit. If believers understood this, they would not just do quiet time as a ritual and then leave it. No. That you are doing yourself harm because you are creating a system of difficulty. When the weightier matters of the will of God and destiny now comes, there is no faculty of receiving it with accuracy. So my being alive in the word creates space and provision. Are we together? I can come from a culture that says if you see a ring in the spirit, it is bondage. If you see a chain, it is bondage. If you see a shoe, it is speed. If you see a person, it means a human being. There is no basis for all of those things. Now watch this. Because my mind, remember I'm anointed. Are we together? Say anointed. Not your pastor now, my example. Are we together? Remember, I'm anointed. Now, the Lord is showing me a vision on Pastor Shego. And I look at Pastor Shego and I see a chain. I do not have a word bank to give accurate interpretation. I will be forced to interpret that prophecy from the lens of the information I have. And God will look helpless. So I can say, sir, you are in bondage. I wish that I saw a chain. Pastor, you are in bondage. Just when God told you are moving into superior dimensions. And then you look at me now and say, you are lying. And I'm confused. You are confused. Two of us are now standing and say, what is this? And I go back and say, God, but I'm an innocent person. Is it a lie? Didn't I see? You saw, but you didn't see well. So he touched his eyes again. He said, what do you see? He said, I saw men like trees. They are not trees. I know what that man saw. Is the same thing that he said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord. You can see men like trees. It is true that God can use that similitude. But in that context, God wanted him to see men clearly. So you can stop at a dimension, seeing men like trees, seeing progress like failure, seeing evil like good. There needs to be accuracy. Is God speaking to us? God forbid, but let me give an example again. I'm using Pastor Shego because he's a pastor. If I use you and you are afraid after the service, at least let me use him because he knows. Are we together now? If I call anybody in the congregation, you may be afraid. So at least a man of God whose mind has been built by the word. Watch this. Let's assume that I stand here now and I see a vision of an accident. Watch this. It may not be a lie. Listen very carefully. That I just looked and I saw the vision of an accident. And Pastor Shego is planning to travel maybe this night. And I stood as an anointed man of God. Am I boring you? And I see an accident. Now, what God has shown me, if it's allowed to pass through the lens of the word, it will be interpreted in such a way that the interpretation itself will bind that spirit. Are we together? The moment I see that vision, there are so many scriptures weaving in my mind as that light is coming. because God is a good God. So I know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now I'm seeing something, and I know that the spirit of revelation comes from God. He is showing me as proof of his confidence in my ability to change it. Are we together now? If you don't have capacity, you will not see certain things. That's why in Egypt, everyone was broke. So God had to use the man who had the influence and showed him the dream. Because even if someone else saw the dream, he didn't have the influence to effect it. God looks at capacity to trust men with these things. He gave unto one 5, 2, and 1 according, not according to his will, according to their ability. And the end of the parable proved he was right. Say amen. So I look at it now, and listen, I'm explaining something now. I'm receiving it. Is it the will of God? No. Pastor Shegu is traveling, and it's not always about saying don't travel. No, I've seen danger. What if he's going to go and meet his wife? What if he's going to go and pay his child's school fees? Are we together? Now I have seen that God is dependent, is depending on my level of renewal to do something about that situation that will bring him glory. On the strength of what I know about God, I can stand, for I am a man under authority, and I can tell one go and he goeth. Are we together? And the Bible says that God did not leave anything under man's feet. He himself is the head of principalities and powers. And the Bible says we've been raised together with him, and we have been made to sit. He has given us a name. This is what is working in my mind. And I may not even need to tell Pastor Shegu, because I know that these events are impactful. And the Bible says, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, the truth is not a correct information. The truth is a word-compliant information. It may be sociologically correct. If it's not word compliant, it's a lie. So, on the strength of that scripture, I don't want him to think of something wrong. So, I may not even need to tell him. I stand and speak and say it's done. Pastor, may God bless you. Say, Johnny. And then he goes. Let me tell you this. I don't know how many times, Pastor, I have received text messages from very accurate, you know, because I travel a lot, I meet with a lot of people, prophets, apostles, great people of God, pastors, and I know they love me with all their heart. And sometimes I'm on my way to the airport and someone is sending me a text, Apostle, and accurately, you are at the airport now. I say, oh yes, man of God, please, I'm in trouble. Or you are going to go by road. Yeah, and sometimes they can even describe the car. This is a this, yes. Man of God, I know you are anointed man, please. I don't want you to feel bad. But I saw a ghastly motor accident. And then I call him and say, okay, I understand, man of God. Of course, you can't say you are stupid. No, you don't do that. May God bless you. I appreciate you. And sometimes they just pray with me. When I drop it, I laugh. I don't laugh out of foolishness. If you have not seen the burning bush, don't stand before Pharaoh. This is the balance. A lot of arrogant people stand before Pharaoh and they say, it's the advantage of the burning bush that gives you the courage to stand before Pharaoh. I look at that now, and my goodness, at least 100 scriptures just flash in my spirit and dissolve that vision in pieces. It's true. He reproved kings for their sake. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, are we together? On the strength of those scriptures, the Bible says, declare ye that he might be justified. And then I decree that the journey is safe, and I sleep. Ask my people. We have had some very interesting times in the air. There is no time, even if the plane is turning wherever, I'm sleeping. It will take a lot to kill me. And honestly, I'm not trying to be proud. I'm being as modest as I can be. If you know the things that have happened to me, you will know how many times death has tested me. I've seen the spirit of death face to face. So I'm not just talking rubbish. I have seen the spirit of death face to face. I know death is a spirit. He speaks to your spirit. But while you wait for his voice, you build your level of accuracy by investing massively in the word. Are we together? So that when he speaks, you have hidden his word in your heart sufficient to cause every interpretation to be accurate. Listen, this is very powerful. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. The words of your mouth can be acceptable, but the meditations of your heart can be corrupt. And out of the abundance, listen very carefully. This is why, you see, let me tell you, the technology of the spirit is that we don't just speak. It's out of the abundance of what is in our hearts that the mouth speaks. When you hear God, you will be accurate. If the Lord is your shepherd and you can hear him, then you will not want. I guarantee you. No matter what you see now, just ignore it. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you will not want. People have walked upon this earth, brothers and sisters, as I round up, naive in themselves. They have come from cultures where nobody makes it. And then they found this blessed Spirit of God. The Word of God cultured them into the systems of the kingdom. And they arose in a way and manner that they said, no, if it is the Lord's doing, I've told you, then it is marvelous in our sight. When the Lord walks with you, your life will be nothing short of a wonder. Forget all the things that happen around. No. You have been attached to a system where it will be difficult to go out of the will of God. The mechanisms that will keep you in accuracy are too many. The only thing that can authorize you missing the will of God may be your personal rebellion. Remember that in addition to all of these things, there are other spiritual systems that I'm sure that the Spirit of God will work with the man of God who is coming to touch on those. I'm limited tonight, but I will tell you, I hope that we had time. I would have told you that spiritual authority is also a system for discerning the will of God. When Jesus was born, they carried him to the temple and they met two strange people. One was Simeon the prophet and another was Anna the prophetess. The Bible says this woman had been praying for 60 years for the safe arrival of Jesus. It was part of her prayer that made Joseph not to divorce Mary. There was a woman interceding prophetically by the Spirit to ensure that the Messiah is born. And they took Jesus. He would have died like a chicken, I tell you the truth. They held him and they spoke over his life. Watch this. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. So it is true that from the volume of the book we can find what is written. But to walk therein in the reality of it, watch this. Jesus is in town and his ministry is about to start. And then Jesus goes to the Jordan to meet a man of God called John the Baptist. Watch this, the prophet. And John says, no, I'm not worthy, I'm not foolish. I know what you carry. I know the excellency and the superiority of the ministry that comes to you. And Jesus says, suffer it to be so. This is a spiritual ordinance. My heavens will remain closed, although I'm the word of God, until I identify with the authority that represents the voice of God before my arrival. Jesus is teaching. Suffer it to be so. You will never come to this church and stand to preach and trivialize the authority and the grace. You will be anointed outside here, but you'll be surprised as a man of God that you walk under closed heavens. Because the authority of this spiritual sphere has been allocated to a man. And when you honor that man, the heavens over that place is open for you. So the next time you see people take out time, you have to pray. It has been given to you to know. Jesus would have, for 30 years, the world was under closed heavens. He prayed. He did Bible study in temples. The heavens were closed. It was not the day he was baptized. It was not, the will of God was not just for the day Jesus was baptized for the heavens to be opened. It was the day he aligned with God's system. Listen very carefully. If he postponed one day, his heavens will postpone one day too. It wasn't as if it was a day God chose. No. He came and met a prophet and said, prophet, I know. Because before God comes, Elijah always comes. And now God is about to show up. I must identify with Elijah. It's a spiritual principle. Every time God is about to come to a land, Elijah must come. It's a spiritual principle. Elijah is the spirit of prophecy that prepares the way for any move of God to come. That's why before a revival is birthed in a land, the spirit of Elijah must forerun. It's a principle. And so Elijah baptizes Jesus, and suddenly his heaven is open. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, the express image of the Father, under a closed heaven for 30 years. It was not God that opened his heavens. It was authority that opened his heavens. The centurion said, "No, Jesus, you don't need to come. I've been well trained. I am a man under authority." Even to resist Jesus, he says, authority first, then resist the devil and he will flee. It's possible that you may be in this church. It's possible that you may be an active part of this church and believe your pastor is just your pastor and wonder why it's difficult for you to discern the will of God. There is a place where authority authorizes revelation. This is my beloved son, John, in whom I am well pleased. And from that statement, he commanded the world, hear ye him. Everywhere Jesus went, there was someone to listen to him, because a voice had declared, everywhere you see him, don't ignore him, don't neglect him, hear ye him. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here so we pray. These are the systems of the kingdom that cause men to walk accurately in the will of God. Listen, every single one of us has a destiny in Christ, brothers and sisters. But whether or not that destiny will come to fruition is dependent on many factors. Among them, the ability to comprehend these mysteries of the kingdom and engage them accordingly. This is what makes the lives of ordinary people look like a wonder. They are always at the right place. What is supposed to kill them delivers them. Are we together? The will of God guided them. The voice of God leading them. The Spirit of God granting illumination. The last time you see them is the last time you see that realm they are in. The next time you see them is another glory. It's another grace. In this charismatic conference, I believe that is the desire of your pastor to see that not only will we begin to walk in accuracy, but that the results will show. The result, the excellence and the quality of your result will show that you are tapping intelligence from another dimension. Are we together? That as God is revealing something to your pastor, because of your connection, you are getting it too. Are we together? And you come on stage, and after the service, pastor wants to talk to you, and you say, "Pastor, I know you have a word for me." And he's like, now deep is calling on to deep. The barriers have been cleared. There is accuracy. The saints are rising. The purpose of God are being established with minimal or no hindrances. This is why we are gathered here, to feast on the word, that he will open our eyes that we may see. Habakkuk says, "I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower, that I will see," not hear, "see what the Lord will say." When the Bible says behold, it means conceive as a reality in your spirit. Let there be a sense of perception. Behold. We are going to pray tonight. And then if you just give me 5 minutes just to pray, I shouldn't end this conference. My session ends tonight. But I know that a number of us may be expectant for God to just touch you. There are dimensions of the Spirit. It should be impossible for you to walk out of this meeting without entering certain levels of spiritual reality. A charismatic conference is a platform for spiritual upgrade. When something happens to you, there is a reconfiguration. Like I'm talking for many of you, I'm giving you a spiritual basis to love the word. It's no longer a religion. It's no longer just devotionals. It's no longer just books for education. You are finding out that could this be the reason why many things have been spoken about me, but I've not been able to access it because the unrenewedness in my mind have limited God. I must take away that limitation. There are people who have ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Probably listen to me. And now you are saying, my God. So the Spirit of God is not just a Pentecostal issue. He will make you, I tell you. If there is anything I will say again, in the life of this man you see standing before you, that ever brings glory to God, I credit it to, among many factors, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in that ministry, the ability to discern the impulses of the Spirit. This is what is responsible for signs and wonders. This is what is responsible for favor. Favor has a geography, and you must be led to that place. It says, thou causest men to ride upon our heads. We walk through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. There is a place where your blessing is. It's not just everywhere. No, and Isaac sowed in that land. Someone must have told him, remain in that land. Are we together? Abraham, take now thy son to a mount that I will show you. That's the place of the blessing. I will show you. We are going to pray. And I want you to passionately cry to God from the depth of your heart and say, Lord, you have to do something over my life tonight. There has to be an anointing. There has to be an unction from the Holy One. I want to begin to walk circumspectly. I know that I'm not where I should be now. Every time pastor continues to prophesy over my life, and my life seems to be barren of the results that the speakings of God through him communicates, something is wrong. I take responsibility tonight, and I ask for your grace. Are there praying believers in this place? Open your mouth and let's pray. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ephesians 5 says, and be not unwise, but understanding, discerning what the will of God is. I need to know where to be part time. I need to understand the blueprint of my assignment with curiosity. Listen, if you do not know what God has called you to do, you will wallow away in mediocrity. You will walk in hatred. You will feel left out in life. Pray, Father's delight. Lo, I call in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, as it is written of me, to do thy will, to do thy will. Hallelujah. I like us to pray. And I like us to decree and declare that, Father, in this season, the anointing, the grace, the clarity it takes to open up the vistas of a new level. You can't be the same after the charismatic conference. Then it's not a charismatic conference. As a man of God, Lord, there is a dimension of grace. I know it is your will for me. When you know the will of God, you press without fear. When you know the will of God, you anchor your faith upon it. It's God's will for us to prosper. It's God's will for us to do well. It's God's will for us to excel. It's God's will for us to surpass ordinary standards. It's God's will for us to shake the nations. Therefore, we must cry. We are not in the dark. Lift up your voice and pray, thy kingdom come. Lord, I receive this dimension of your will. Oh, 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 oh. Keep praying. Oh, 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 oh.
Suchata ne nakawo Serking salama Serking aljana Yabo ne se
Yabo ne nakawo Suchata ne nakawo Serking salama Serking aljana
in my spirit that the Lord is bringing clarity. I sense an anointing. I'll just a few minutes just to minister, but I sense an anointing, and the anointing that I sense in the spirit is bringing people to realms of spiritual clarity. He said, he that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, he that hath an ear. This is what the Lord is doing now. The Lord wants to bring that anointing. I want to pray for you now. That anointing, there is a grace that can cost men. A man's ears can be anointed to hear. A man's eyes can be anointed to see. And that the ears that hear and the seeing eyes, they are all of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please hold on. Anointing of the Spirit support me now. Pastor, please give me a few minutes and then I'll pray. Hallelujah. Please help them now. I'm seeing the angel of the Lord standing here, just this direction, right here. Please help the people here. I'm seeing an anointing right here, just where I'm standing. I see the anointing of the Spirit. Please bring them out. I want to prophesy to them. Bring them out. Shalos kabarato siatakata.
You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh
Kadosh, you are King of the throne.
I still see that movement there. There is an activation of the grace, the hearing ear. Please make sure you don't obstruct the ministers. Please protocol yourself so that we honor the protocol in the ministry.
You reign. You ancient Zion King, Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
This is the place of encounter.
Hey, Shala Kaposa Barata, help them, Kadosh Shala.
This is the place of surrender. Hey. This is the place where my life is saved. Then I must be another. Here I am in your presence. Oh, say.
Hold on. The Lord is opening my eyes. There is a pastor here. I'm seeing a man of God in an anointing, a strange anointing. Where's this guy that came from me now? He's gone. Pastor, lift your hands. Look at me. Take that fire now. In the name of Jesus. The Lord says I should tell you, activating a prophetic grace. I command that activation now. By the power of the Holy Ghost, that activation now, never will you be small again.
Never will you be small again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your voice and pray in the spirit. Charismatic conference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm seeing a grace for prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. And I'm seeing the number 11 is coming on 11 people scattered across this congregation. Right now I stretch my hands. In the name of Jesus, Zakos Kapata, Epratosetelia, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Help that man of God. The Spirit shall be poured upon us, and your sons and daughters, they will see visions, they will prophesy. Antelakotosia, step into that dimension. Step into that dimension. There are ladies in the spirit of Deborah. In the spirit and power of Deborah, that grace comes upon you. That grace comes upon you. I release it now by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Step into that grace. Lende pretista de balakatosa prehaste de ketabata. Shalanda da balata. You reign, you reign. Elohim, you reign. You reign, you reign. Elohim, you reign. You reign, you reign. You reign. You reign, 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 hallelujah. My hands are shaking, and the Lord is saying it's the healing anointing. Someone here is receiving that anointing. One of you is a man of God. I'm seeing that anointing coming on, I don't know where the section of God, but one man of God is receiving this grace. Right now I decree and declare that anointing will come on many of you. Father, the grace for healing in this end time. Shabakata. May that grace, like the dew of Hermon, come upon someone right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is showing me a vision. Hold on, please. My God, I'm seeing something that will happen now. An anointing is coming, and people are laughing in the spirit right now as I'm talking. An anointing, laughter. Pastor, you are shouting victory here. Is a grace for victory. A grace for victory. I'm seeing an anointing and people are laughing in the spirit. That's what I'm seeing. Laughter in the spirit. Laughter. Shabbatakatosh. The Most High laughs. The Lord, by this laughter, is bringing every captivity to end. It's by His Spirit. That grace, the strange grace, laughter. Remember, it used to happen in Kenneth E. Hagin's meetings when the anointing of the Spirit will just break out in a place and for hours they will laugh themselves into realms of victory. It's coming on someone. Shakos katabarakata. Enteleste katabasata. Why do the hidden rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The Bible says the kings of the earth, they set themselves against God and His anointed. The Bible says the Holy One will laugh. He will laugh, and then in utter derision, he will utter his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have a few minutes, but just allow me to prophesy to one or two people. Who is Mercy? I'm hearing a name, Mercy. 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 You are in the choir. Mercy. It's like you are in your worship team, the band. Is that the choir? Worship team. Your name is Mercy, my dear. I want to pray for you. Where is your mother? Where is home? I have to pray. Hallelujah. Bring for me the lady that shouts loud now under the anointing to the hearing of everybody. The power of God is coming on a lady in a congregation. It's a loud shout to the hearing of everybody. You see, I'm showing you what I'm teaching now is the discerning of spirits. Are you seeing now? Please bring her. I want to speak to her. My dear, I want you to tell your mother, truly, I don't know if you believe your pastor or not, but I want you to tell your mother, because I'm looking at date 14th, and the Lord is saying from that date 14th, your mother is going to enter a dimension of favor. You believe that? You tell her and watch what happens. There is a grace for performance. Are we together now? There is a grace for performance. And for you, I don't know if this ministers to you, but the Lord says I should tell you, he's taking away the reproach. He's taking away the reproach from your life. He's taking away the reproach. It's gone. Gone and gone forever. In the name of Jesus. Just keep her there. Keep her there. In the name of Jesus. This is the house of God. I command the works of darkness now. I command the works of darkness over this lady's life to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the light shineth in darkness. And the Bible declares that the darkness comprehended it not. I look and I see a lot of evil in this lady's life. I decree and declare right now, for her and her family, in the name of Jesus, let there be liberty. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Who is John? John. John. I'm hearing a name, John. 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 Is there someone with a son named John? John, you are wearing a black suit. You have something like a purple dress inside. This is the vision the Lord is showing me. Is there someone like that? Who is that? Please confirm it before we... You are a member of this church, sir? Please, help me. Victor, please, talk to them. Okay, you are not... I have to pray for you. Two things, sir. Please, don't be embarrassed. Number one, your relationship with Jesus. Are we together now? I believe that's why God has put a conference like this. He's saying, brothers and sisters, listen, God is not a herbalist, he's not a magician. The power of a believer is a derivative of a relationship. You can go to a herbalist and not know his name and not even know him and get power and go. But when it has to do with the things of God, your life, your relationship matters. Are we together? The Lord says, I should rebuke delay from your life. Are we together? You believe that, sir? Look at me. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, let delay leave your life and live your life now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just prophesy it as I'm seeing it. I saw different currencies. This is what I'm seeing. Different currencies, strange currencies. I'm seeing it as I'm saying now. And this is a representation of favor. And the Lord is saying there is that anointing. And it's not just on one or two people. The Lord wants that anointing. He wants to bring that anointing in an unusual way over many people. Therefore, Lord, we declare, we place performance on your word. Right now, I stretch my hands across the length and breadth of this auditorium, and I decree and declare, there are people that must step into that grace for favor. I release that grace now. In the name of Jesus, I release that grace upon you. Receive it, say amen. Don't wait to fall. Receive it. Say amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.
You see, words don't die. When a word is sent, it doesn't return till it is accomplished. Are we together now? When a word is sent, my dear, the Lord says to tell you that this is your season of victory. That's what the Lord is saying to tell her. Please celebrate the word when it comes, that this is a season of victory. This man of God, please, can I pray for you, sir? Are you okay with it? Come. I don't know you anything about you, but I'm looking at you and two things. Number one, I am seeing a similarity between something in you and the man who is coming to minister after me. I don't know the man. I have never seen the man anywhere. But I'm looking at you and in a vision, the preacher that is coming, sir, I'm seeing a similarity between this man and that. And the Lord is saying the teaching and the prophetic, these two things. And he's saying he wants to release it upon your life. The grace for teaching and the grace for the prophetic that he says he wants to release upon your life. Are we together? Can I pray for you, sir? That in the name, you're a man of God, you're a pastor. I'm going to pray. Ah, God. In the name of Jesus, let them go free now. Just let me do my prayer and watch what happens. In the name of Jesus, they go free now. In the name of Jesus, they go free now. In the name of Jesus, my God, I'm seeing thoughts in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they go free now. This is Bethel, a place of bread. In the name of Jesus, they go free now. In the name of Jesus, they go free now. Just help those under the anointing there. In the name of Jesus, they go free now. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Man of God, please hold my hands. I pray for you. In the name that is above all names, you step into a fresh dimension of the teaching grace and the prophetic. May the God of heaven, whom I serve, grant you that grace. You will begin to walk in unusual dimensions of this grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Supernatural dimensions. Supernatural dimensions. Are you a man of God? This gentleman, you, please come, sir. I'm looking at you in the realm of the spirit, and I'm seeing the vision that God showed the prophet, that he measured 1,000 cubits. Are we together? And then the river rose from my feet to my loins. That's what I'm seeing. The Lord is multiplying your grace and is shifting you to a greater dimension in ministry. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace. Never to be the same. I activate that dimension upon you. You will never be the same in the name of Jesus Christ. You're trusting God for healing. Just lay your hands. Let's just do it quickly. For time, just 1 minute. We may not have time for testimonies, but I'm sure that you can always have a way of registering it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. Again, God gives me signs, and sometimes these signs, I thank God this is a ministry that has a lot of spiritual intelligence. The healing anointing will begin to flow after a loud shout. Now, why that happens, I don't know. A loud shout to the hearing of everybody. And then the mighty power of God will begin to touch the bodies of people. That's what God is telling me right now. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing of the Spirit, it will come upon a person, and with a shout loud enough for everybody to hear. The moment that happens, then I begin to pray for the sick. I'm seeing like a cloud. That's what I'm seeing. And I'm ready to pray now. In the name that is above all names. I decree and I declare, Shabakatos Tati Balakatos, every spirit of infirmity, I come against you now in the name of Jesus. I come against you now in the name of Jesus. I come against you now in the name of Jesus. I release life to your body. I release life to your body in the name of Jesus. Perfection in the name of Jesus. The Lord is healing someone of fibroid. In the name of Jesus, I curse that devil now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing a lady with severely painful menstruation to the point that if you don't take drugs, it can almost look like you are passing out. In the name of Jesus, I command that you are free right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There is someone, please help that person. In the name of Jesus Christ, there's someone, you feel like there's water at your left ear. Most times you even have to hit it because you don't hear very well there. And sometimes it looks like it's clogged. The power of God is touching you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. There are two people I'm seeing with severe infection. The Lord is healing you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing a lady that has like a growth at her right breast. A growth at her right breast. The Lord is healing you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every other issue, whether I mentioned it or not, I declare be healed now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Let me speak over your life. I join faith with your dear pastor, very anointed man of God, and I declare to you, let this be your month of celebration. Even as the Lord has spoken, in the name of Jesus, I'm prophesying to you, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't say prophecy came January, February. No. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bring the new to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak over your life. I don't know what door has closed over you hitherto. I prophesy Ephata. Let it be open now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every dear man of God here in ministry, I join faith by the message of God and I speak over your ministry. Be shifted to a new dimension of results. In the name of Jesus. And I decree over Father's delight. In the name of Jesus. You see, listen. When the Father is delighted in the Son, He commands everything to hear Him. It's part of the benefits of being delighted. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And as a token for that, He says, hear ye Him. Sir, I'm seeing oil, like oil, coming on your head. This man, I don't know if he's a man of God or yes. I'm seeing like oil coming upon your head. And the Lord is saying is a grace for wisdom. This is wisdom that the Lord is bringing over your life. In the name of Jesus, I speak over this great assembly. And in the name of Jesus, let the least among you be as great as David. Whoever fights any member of this ministry goes down instantly. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no one is buried in this church. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? We declare preservation by the blood. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, joining faith with your pastor, that in greater measures may the spirit of revelation rest upon you. May the spirit of understanding rest upon you. I prophesy speed over your life. In the name of Jesus. You will do in the month of August what you have not done in 4 years put together. I say it again, you will do in the month of August. I'm speaking by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had this proverb that in one day a city is born? But the Bible says as soon as Zion travails, she shall put forth a son. I declare that you will do in 1 month what you have not done in 4 years. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you may have lost, opportunities, relationships, I call it back to your life. Because we understand from Ezekiel 37 that nothing really gets missing. They only leave your geography of influence. I call them by the Spirit back to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that your hands are blessed. They never fail. Whatever you have been doing that you failed in, go back again. And in the name of Jesus, may the God of heaven surprise you. You have honored your pastor, and by extension, you have honored me. I pray that the access that honor brings, may it work in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, thank you so much. I truly am honored. Thank you. For all of you in front, in the name of Jesus, the anointings and the impartations that you receive, it will stay with you, and there will be proof, there will be results that you came for the charismatic conference. I love you and thank you so much. The Lord bless you.